Society is not polite or not appropriate, and whether you call it profanity or swear words, curse words, cuss words, blasphemy, there are all types of different descriptions that we may use of such language. And as we continue this series that I have begun on the sins of the tongue, I want to speak to you about the sin of profanity this morning. And I want to remind you of a passage that we looked at last week found in Matthew chapter 12. Please take a look at a couple of verses there to see what Jesus has to say about our words. Matthew chapter 12, beginning in verse 36. In Matthew 12, verse 36, Jesus says, "But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned." Now, while Jesus is not necessarily specifically talking about what we call profanity in this verse, this does set forth a principle by which we must judge all of the language that we speak. That no matter what the words are that we are speaking, that we need to make sure that it is in keeping with the principles of Scripture, and that we need to understand that our words will either justify us or they will condemn us. And the Bible doesn't necessarily mention profanity specifically, not at least in the way that we speak of that today, but it does have much to say about inappropriate speech and the type of language that we should or should not be using. There is a myth that profanities are just words. But I would submit to you this morning that not all words are created equal. And we understand that even with words that are not considered to be profane, even with words we do not consider to be curse words or cuss words, we understand that different words have different impacts. That different words will evoke different kinds of emotions or reactions. You can say something to somebody with one particular word that will evoke a negative reaction, and then you can use a different word to evoke a positive reaction. You use different words for emphasis, and we understand that not all words are created equal. Words have power. And choosing the right word, again, not necessarily talking about profane words, just any type of language, choosing the right word in our conversations, whether it be in verbal conversations, whether it be in the written word, will have a great impact on our audience. Those who are writers understand that they need to be eloquent in the language, that they need to use the correct word at the right time in order to convey the correct message and get across what they want to get across. In order to paint the correct picture in somebody's mind, in order to convey the meaning that they have. Words have power. And when it comes to what we call profanity, words certainly have power. And there are some, though, in this world that will say that profanities or curse words, they're just words. They're really no different than anything else. Oh, they may say, and I read a blog in my research for this that was quite enlightening, to say the least, on the way that some people view this subject. And in this blog, this lady or this woman was talking about how profanity is just another form of words. And she admitted, though, that there are certain places and certain times that it's not necessarily appropriate. And she, in my opinion, kind of defeated her argument by even admitting that statement. Because if profanities are just words, if those curse words or cuss words really don't have anything different about them than any other words, then you cannot say that, oh, you can use them in certain circumstances, but you can't use them over here in this circumstance. It's because we all understand that language has an impact and it has power. Not all words are created equal. And language changes. Our language has changed dramatically over the last several hundred years, the English language. If you pick up a King James Bible, for instance, and you try to read some of the passages in the King James Bible, you're reading English that is 400 years old. And there are certain expressions and certain words that we just don't use anymore. It talks about the bowels as the source of emotion. We don't talk about that. We don't use bowels in that way anymore. And there are words that even just 50 years ago, or 60, 70 years ago, used to be considered vulgar or not appropriate for educated, refined society that today we don't even think twice about using. Those of you who are old enough may recall that maybe in your household you were not allowed to use the word pregnant. Does anybody remember that? Ladies, you did not talk about being pregnant. You may talk about expecting a child or about being in the womanly way or however the phrase was that you may use, but you just would not use the word pregnant because that was considered crude. And today we don't think that way at all. At least the majority of society does not. And pregnant is not a profane word, but certain words do change in their connotation or in their meaning or in the way they are viewed by society over the course of time. I don't know what the curse words of the day were in the first century when the Bible was written, when the New Testament was written. I don't know what those were. We don't have that recorded for us. But you can do kind of a history of certain words and see how it's changed and see how it has evolved, see how they've evolved over the years and the ways in which they were viewed. But what is it that causes a word to be profane? What is it that causes a word to be considered a swear word or a curse word or a cuss word or whatever phrase you want to use to describe it? Obviously, that is set by society. There is no canonized list of words that are not acceptable for Christians to use that you can find in the Scriptures. There is no set list because language changes. Meanings of words change. The way words are used change. But the principle is still the same. That is that not all words are created equal. And at various points in time, certain words are going to have different connotations than at other times. Certain words are going to be viewed by society as not being acceptable or appropriate or clean speech. Maybe they'll be considered dirty words, as we used to call them. So who decides what words are acceptable and what words are not? That's going to be decided by society, by and large. And over time, that changes. But we do need to understand that words do have power, words do have meaning, words do convey a certain image about the one who is speaking that particular word. And we need to be careful about that. Look at James chapter 3, please. James chapter 3. In verses 1 through 12 specifically, James is talking about the danger of the tongue and all the damage that we can cause with our tongue. And there is a certain type of profane speech that he does mention here. He talks about cursing. And we talk about curse words, but if you take a look at really what that means, a curse, what we're talking about here is bringing down a curse upon somebody, condemning somebody, and sometimes invoking God's name in that curse. He says in verse 8, James 3, verse 8, "No man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude or in the likeness of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus no spring yields both salt water and fresh. In the context of talking about the dangers of the tongue and how we use the tongue, he says that one of the things that should not be the case is that we should be speaking, as the Indians would say, with a forked tongue. That we shouldn't be blessing our God and then cursing our man, our fellow man, who's made in the likeness of God. That doesn't mesh. That doesn't go together. We can bring down a curse upon someone, and that is not a proper thing to do, he says. That is not something that is our place. And that view, and that shows our view towards our fellow man, that if we are bringing down a curse upon someone, if we are pronouncing a curse upon someone, if we are condemning them with our language, then we are not seeing them as God sees them. We are not seeing them as another soul that's made in the likeness of God. It shows our heart is full of envy or anger and wrath and malice, which are certainly condemned. Not all words are created equal, and with our words we can do great damage. And as he talks about here in James 3, he likens the tongue to a fire, to a forest fire that just engulfs everything in flames, and everything is destroyed because of it. Our words will carry a lot of weight. Look over at Exodus 20, please. Exodus chapter 20. When God introduces himself to this new nation of Israel, these people that he has redeemed out of Egyptian bondage, he gives to them what we call the Ten Commandments. And in these Ten Commandments, he talks about the way that they are to view him, the relationship they have towards God himself. For instance, in verse 3, he says, Exodus 20, verse 3, "You shall have no other gods before me." He is the one God for Israel. Nothing else can come before him. Verse 4, "You shall not make for yourself a carved image." Don't make any idols, regardless of whether the likeness of anything that's in heaven above, or there's in earth beneath, or there's in the water under the earth. You don't make any idols. No carved images. You don't bow down and visit and worship them and serve them. And then in verse 7 he says, "You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain." See, certain words carry extra special meanings. Not all words are created equal. The name of God, Yahweh, or as we just generally speak of him today, God, is something that is special. It's something that we cannot treat flippantly. And while I think there is much more to the idea of taking the name of God in vain than just uttering his name in a flippant manner, I think it has a lot more to do with our entire life and the way we convey the fact that we are supposed to be part of God's family. But this is certainly one application of it, where we take up the name of God and we use it in a way that is demeaning. We use it with a curse. We use it in a way that does not bring him honor or glory, but just treats it as if it is nothing. And God says, "You shall not do that, and I will not hold him guiltless who takes my name in vain." Words have different meanings and hold different amounts of quality to them. And to combine this verse with what Jesus said about speaking idle words, useless words, words with no purpose, words with no meaning, words that don't help, words that may tear down even. See, when you take God's name, when you speak of God in a dishonorable way, then you are defiling the name of God. You are profaning his name. And God will not hold us guiltless if we do such. Not all words are created equal. We need to understand there is a difference. And we also need to understand that we are different. Different from the world. We as Christians are not supposed to be conformed to the world, but we are to be transformed. Look over at Romans chapter 12, where Paul makes that point quite clear. Romans chapter 12, and look at verses 1 and 2, please. Romans 12, verse 1 and 2. There Paul says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. That is, you're constantly giving yourself, you're putting yourself to death in order to live for God. That you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And so as Christians, we need to understand that not all words are created equal, and we need to live a different way, and we need to talk a different way. And profanity corrupts our holiness. Profanity makes us common. It makes us like everybody else in the world. It does not set us apart from the world. It makes us part of the world. If we are to be holy, that is, if we are to be set apart for God's service, different from the world, then we need to speak in ways that are holy. Profanity corrupts that. The word profane, and from which we get our word profanity, comes from the Latin combination of words, or the prefix pro, which means outside of, or before, or in front of, and then fanus, which is temple. Something that was profane was something that would not be in the temple. It was outside of the temple. Now, it doesn't necessarily mean that it was something wrong or bad or sinful. It just means that it didn't belong in the temple. And you understand that there are certain things that have higher meanings and are set apart for different services, for different aspects of your life, and such is the case with things that are profane. It's similar to the word vulgar. When we think of the word vulgar today, we think of something that is corrupt, something that is nasty, dirty, and so forth. But in the original meaning of that word, it just meant that which was common. It wasn't special, it was just common. The vulgar tongue was just the common tongue of the people, whatever the people spoke. But that which is profane is that which does not belong in the temple. Brethren, may I remind you that our bodies are to be the temple of the Holy Spirit. And our bodies are not our own, but we were bought with a price. That we are to be glorifying God in all that we do and all that we say. And if we are to be a temple, then those things that are profane, whether it be with our speech or whether it be with our actions, have no part with being a Christian. And anything that would corrupt our holiness in our speech should not be something that we incorporate into our lives. That blog that I was telling you about that I read from one woman's opinion about profanity, at the very beginning of the article, she had a picture of, I don't know if it was herself or some other woman, wearing a t-shirt that says, I love Jesus, but I cuss a little. That's a complete misunderstanding of what it means to love Jesus. Because loving Jesus means that you want to be holy, means you want to be like Him, and you don't allow anything profane in your life. Look at Ephesians 4, please. Ephesians chapter 4. Here in the second half of the letter to the Ephesians, Paul uses the last three chapters to talk about very practical applications of what it means to be a Christian. And this is kind of, the whole second half could kind of go underneath the heading of what he talks about in chapter 4, and that is putting off the old man and putting on the new man. And so he then goes on to illustrate what exactly that looks like. When you put to death the old man of sin, and put on the new man created in righteousness and holiness, what does that look like? How does that play itself out in a practical everyday life? Well, look at chapter 4 and verse 25. Ephesians 4 verse 25. And a lot of what he talks about here has to do with the way we talk. Not specifically about profanity, although that would be included. Ephesians 4 verse 25. Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Look at verse 29 specifically. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. Well, what qualifies as a corrupt word? Anything that would not be considered holy. And I understand that with each society and each generation, that may change. But let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. Verse 31. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. The way we talk with one another is part of what he's talking about here, and the way we treat one another. But not just that, other types of language, verse 3. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as is fitting for saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. Profanity is not fitting for those who are saints, for those who are holy, for those who are set apart for God's service, for those who have been sanctified, for those who are part of God's family. It's not fitting. For this you know, verse 5 of chapter 5, for this you know that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. He says, don't let anybody deceive you. All these things that I've been talking about, people are going to try to pass them off as being okay. It's just the way that the world works. There's no difference. It doesn't matter how you talk. It doesn't matter the language you use. It doesn't matter the content of your conversation. No, Paul says there are certain things that are not fitting. And any type of language that is corrupt, any type of language that does not profess holiness, that is language that is not fitting for saints. We have a high standard. God says, you be holy as I am holy. And we need to make sure that in all we do, we are holy. And that includes the way we talk. In Colossians 3 and verse 17, there Paul says, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Whatever you do, in word, whatever words you are speaking, whatever you are saying, or indeed, whatever actions you are participating in, all of it must be done in a way that would glorify Jesus and that would say, that you would be able to say that what I am saying or what I am doing with the authority of Jesus. Or He approves of this. This is done in His name. This is done to glorify Him. We'll honor Him in what I'm saying or what I'm doing. Can that be done with profanity? There's a reason why it is called profanity. Can that be done with that type of language? They're not just words. And these types of words corrupt our holiness. Using profanity is a way to conform to the ways of the world rather than being transformed from it. And we need to make sure that whatever we do, in word or deed, will be done in the name of the Lord Jesus. That is, that with His approval, with His authority, and that brings honor and glory to Him. No, not all words are created equal. There are certain types of language and conversations. He talks about that in chapter 5 as well, the coarse jesting, filthy talk. All of that corrupts us. And I would like to urge each one of you, brethren, to do your best to guard your heart and mind. It's not just about not uttering certain words, but there are certain things that we can do that will help prevent that even coming into our mind and then out of our mouth. Because as Jesus said, it's out of the heart that things flow, that what comes out of the mouth is really just an indicator of what's in the heart. And so we need to be careful to guard our hearts, to guard our minds. Matthew 12, verse 33 through 35, Jesus said, "Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad, for a tree is known by its fruit. Brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things." What we say, how we talk, the words we use are an indicator of what is in our heart. And so how do we guard our heart or our mind in this profanity-laden world? It is all around us. It is very, very difficult to escape it. Whether it be on TV, whether it be in the movies, whether it be on the internet, whether it be in the books you read, whether it be with the people you work with or go to school with, the friends you have, your neighbors, it's all around us. Let me tell you what's not practical and what's not going to work. And that is that every single person that you come across, if they say some type of profane word, that you tell them you need to stop talking that way. That's just not going to work. You can't go tell every single person that you ever hear say a certain type of word that you don't want to hear that word and please stop talking that way. You're not going to get very far with most people. But may I make some practical suggestions? There are going to be certain individuals that you do have influence with. There are going to be certain individuals that will listen to you, those who are in your close circle. You can't affect necessarily the random person, but you can try to kindly explain to the person that you are trying to be friends with, the people that you go out with, the people that you work with, the people you sit next to, that you are trying to be holy. And that there is a certain type of language that you just don't care to hear. Now, I've had several people tell me, well, even with those people that you're close with, even those people maybe you work with, that's not even practical. But let me ask you this. If that person was talking in a vulgar way, sexual talk, crude jesting and jokes and so forth, would you just ignore that? Would you put up with that? Would you listen to that? Or would you find some way to get out of that situation? If that person was lying about other people, gossiping about other people, speaking evil about other people, slandering other people, would you try to stop that? Or would you just say, well, there's nothing I can do about it? I understand there's a balance that we have to try to meet, and we're not going to be able to affect everybody. But brethren, we ought to try to do everything we can. Here's my ultimate point. We have to try to do everything we can to guard our minds and our hearts. And what comes in our ears wants to come out of our mouths. I found that out when I was even just doing research for this lesson. I unfortunately, in trying to read up on some things and get some different views and opinions, Well, it's all over the internet. The very thing that I am preaching against, I had to try to ignore as I was trying to glean some bits of information. And I find it so easy for those words to become embedded in our mind. And then in certain times, they want to come out because they're there. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23, Solomon says, "Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life." And Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8, Paul says, "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things." Brethren, there are some situations and circumstances that we just cannot get out of, that we cannot control. There are others that we can. Whether it be in the company that we keep, whether it be in the TV show that we're watching, whether it be in the movie that we're watching, those are voluntary. And there is no good reason, brethren, none, to subject ourselves to repeated abuse of God's name or of profanity, blasphemy, vulgar talk, sexual talk, because it does affect us. That's why I'm hoping and praying that companies like VidAngel, if you're familiar with that company, are able to be successful. Because it allows us to filter out all those things in movies or TV shows that we have no business hearing, that do affect us. But if VidAngel never is successful, on the day of judgment, is it going to be okay if I never watched a certain movie because of the language, because of the content? Is it going to be okay? Am I really going to be concerned about whether I missed out on a certain movie or TV show? Oh, but it's got a great story. It's got a great plot. Those characters are so lovable. You root for them, and it's historical. It's realistic. But what might happen if I continue to subject myself to that? My heart and my mind will become corrupted. We need to be meditating on those things that are true and noble and just and pure and lovely and holy. That's what we need to spend our time on. And may I suggest to you also that if you are in a situation that you are surrounded by profanity and you have very little control over it, you need to take extra special caution and time to counter what you're hearing in the world. You need to take extra special time to spend in God's Word and meditate on those things that are true and lovely. I have the great benefit of working with a bunch of Christians. This is my daily job. Thankfully, I am not in the world as much as y'all are. I don't hear it like some of you do. But those of you who do hear it on a regular basis, may I suggest that you counter that by going to God, going in His Word, meditating on those things that are true and proper and holy and lovely. You need to cleanse your mind. You need to guard it with everything you can. And the Lord will help you with that. Brethren, our words have power, and we have a certain standard to keep. And we need to make sure that we are being holy like God is holy. There is a time that is coming that we will be judged for our words. And our words will either justify us or they will condemn us. How are you speaking? How are you using your language? Is it to build up or is it to tear down? Is it to glorify God or is it something that corrupts? Something that is rotten? What is fitting for the saints? Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. This morning, if you realize that you are not living a way that is glorifying Jesus, that is bringing honor to His name or that is taking the Lord's name in vain, whether it be by your speech or whether it be by your actions. We encourage you to change that this morning. Become conformed, or transformed rather, from the world. Conform yourself to the model of Jesus Christ. If you need to become a Christian this morning and have your sins washed away in the grave of baptism, we encourage you to do that as well and begin your life with Christ this morning. If in any way we can help you, won't you come as together we stand and as we sing.